Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
About him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Deflategate will not go unpunished. The NFL suspending New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. The scandal will also cost his team. Fox Radio's Grinnell Scott has the latest live.
Jane, Brady will sit out the first four games of the Patriots 2015 season without pay. Brady has 3 days to file an appeal. The Patriots organization was hit with a $1 million fine, matching the largest the league has ever handed out, and will lose draft picks, a first-round selection next season, and a fourth-rounder in 2017. The NFL also acted against two Patriots staff members, believed to have deflated game balls before the AFC title game. They have been suspended indefinitely, Jane.
Thanks, Grinnell.
Secondary search and rescue has been sent out.
Van Zandt County, Texas Fire Marshal Chuck Allen, three people still missing after an EF3 tornado tore through the city of Van, southeast of Dallas, last night. A line of tornadoes ripping through communities in the southern plains. At least five are dead in Texas and Arkansas, including a young couple. They were shielding their 18-month-old daughter. She survived and is now out of the hospital. A number of people, though, critically injured. The White House insisting it is not a snub, but Saudi Arabia's King Salman will be a no-show for Thursday's Camp David summit on Iran. He just called the president to say he's sorry.
Alone, the 79-year-old monarch's absence might be explainable, but with leaders from four of the six invited nations expected to skip, sending envoys instead, some wonder if there's an undercurrent of discontent with White House policies in the region, especially with Iran, with whom the administration is attempting to strike a nuclear deal.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Former CIA officer Jeffrey Sterling sentenced to 42 months in prison for leaking classified information and obstructing justice. Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Weekdays on Fox Business.
Bottom line here is we want investors to be prepared for the day ahead, the week ahead.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo.
The concept is to bring perspective, analysis. All day long, I'm speaking with global allocators of capital, CEOs, heads of state, so I can anticipate some of the major moves or reactions, giving investors an edge.
Opening bell with Maria Bartiromo. Weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern on Fox Business.
Weeknight, Kelly brings the heat.
Developing tonight, a Kelly File exclusive. This is breaking news. We're just getting this.
Inside today's most explosive stories.
That's not the way it was supposed to go down.
Getting answers and challenging the status quo.
Sir, it's a back and forth. I'm not just going to give you the platform for a soliloquy. Don't come on here and spit. I will leave that to you to decide.
Powerful, insightful, fair, and balanced. Megyn Kelly taking prime time to the next degree.
Join me for the Kelly File, weeknights at 9.
City of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, remembering two murdered police officers, the first to die in the line of duty there in three decades.
We have memorials set up all around Hattiesburg at the crime scene, here at the PD. This community has really responded to these families.
Mayor Johnny Dupree, officers Benjamin Dean and LaCorey Tate, fatally shot during a traffic stop Saturday night. Four suspects made court appearances today. Two of them could get the death penalty. The defense resting its case today in the penalty phase of the Boston Marathon bombing trial. Sister Helen Prejean, who wrote the book Dead Man Walking, was the last witness. She said she met with Joe Harsanyi and he is truly sorry for what he did. closing arguments this Wednesday. Acquitted in the fatal shooting of teen Trayvon Martin, former neighborhood watchman George Zimmerman, the target of gunfire.
Last fall, Matthew Apperson of Lake Mary, Florida, claimed George Zimmerman threatened him during a bit of road rage. Now both are involved in a shooting incident that involved Zimmerman getting mildly hurt, police spokeswoman Bianca Gillette.
At this time, it appears that George Zimmerman was not the shooter. No shots were fired from George Zimmerman.
Zimmerman's lawyer says Apperson pulled up to him in traffic and fired shots into Zimmerman's vehicle. No charges are filed just yet.
Fox Radio's Eben Brown.
Seacrest, out!
And so is the show he hosts, American Idol.
After 15 seasons, Fox's reality series American Idol will end. The show that launched the careers of Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Jennifer Hudson, and so many more stars made the announcement a day before its 14th season, two-day finale. Judges Jennifer Lopez, Keith Urban, and Harry Connick Jr. will return, as well as host Ryan Seacrest. The show was huge for Fox, bringing in 20 million viewers in its second year in 2003, and those ratings continued, according to Nielsen, through 2011.
That's Michelle Foligno. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
You have heard that everything is bigger in Texas, but is Texas big enough for him? Broadcasting live from Houston, this is Aaron McCready.
Welcome to the broadcast. It is great to have you aboard. I am Aaron McCready, and tonight is our first show from our new studio in Houston, Texas. Now, for all of my loyal Georgia listeners, around 45,000 active listeners to be exact, you know, I will still be your voice, just like when many of you, like the parents, for example, of dying children, desperately reached out to me so they could have a voice when it came to the cannabis oil in Georgia, legalizing that. The show helped them have a voice, and I'm not taking credit for all that. That actually goes to Representative Alan Peak. He did all the hard work on passing that legislation. But we still gave those parents of those dying children a voice. And we will still continue to do that for the state of Georgia and now the show's new home in Texas. And again, like I said, it's great to have you aboard. And as I was thinking of who should be the first guest on the Aaron McCready Show now in Texas, it was pretty much a no-brainer for me. Joe McCutchen has been the number one caller into talk radio stations for over 20 years, and he is a strong supporter of Texas Senator Ted Cruz and is working hard to help him get elected as our next president of the United States. Also, Joe is one of the most positive people that I know, and he is also working to make LJ Georgia the encouragement capital of the world. Joe McCutchen, a great friend of the show, welcome back.
Aaron, it's great to be on. I'm thrilled and honored to be the first guest on your show. I know you'll do a great job out in Texas, and I think you'll become one of the great talk show stars of the in the United States, my friend.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, and that does mean a lot. And thank you for all your support and friendship, you know, in the old Atlanta show, now the new Texas show. I do appreciate it.
Well, you'll do great, and I'm as you said, I'm a very strong supporter of Ted Cruz. I went to Washington and met him. And I tell you what, of course, I'm very prejudiced. I'm crazy about him. But he was the most impressive human being I've ever met. He, in about 5 minutes, gave me the conservative agenda, less government, less taxes, more freedom. And just an extremely impressive and warm person. And I just, I'm just thrilled to be for him. Now, of course, I'm not going to attack. There are a lot of other fine candidates. I'm for Ted Cruz. I'm not going to be attacking anybody else running against him because I just don't think that's I don't believe in that. I believe in being for your candidate, and I'm going to do everything I can to elect Ted Cruz president, but I will not attack, you know, his opposition.
Well, that's like Ronald Reagan, his 11th commandment, thou shalt not attack another Republican. So, you know, I think, you know, the candidate should be able to stand on their own, and
right.
in the end, there's only going to be one standing, and then everybody has to come together anyway. So what good would it do to really tear each other down just to go back and support each other?
Well, that's what I, you know, I was for Mitt Romney last time, and I think it hurt because a lot of people, you know, running against him, they attacked him. I'm sure they had good reasons, but when the final analysis, I think if all that hadn't happened, we'd be talking about Mitt Romney as president. But that's just. But anyway, that's in the past. We're in the future now, and I'm just real fired up and energized about Ted Cruz. And as you also said, I've always believed when I was at Georgia Tech, I was encouraged by my finance professor. I was president of the student body. The dean of students wrote me a letter praising me. Homer Rice, the director of athletics, subscribes to my newsletter and praises me all the time. And so, really, I've had so many people praise me, and whatever I am, Aaron, it's because people have encouraged me. So I just came up with the idea of making LJ the encouragement capital of the world. And, well, just like with you, I want to lift you up and encourage you. You're a great talk show host. I want to encourage everybody to listen to you. And, you know, somebody had to push Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh to the top, right? Well, I'm going to try to push you to the top because I believe in you. I know you're good. I know you're fair. I know you're a good person. And so anyway, that's what we want to do is encourage and lift up people because so many people, I've been to so many funerals, Aaron, and they said, what'd you think of old Jack? Oh, well, he was a great guy. Did you ever tell him? No, I never did. So what we're trying to do is encourage people, just like I'm doing with you, to say, Aaron, I believe in you. You're going to go out there in Texas. You're going to have a tremendous audience, and I'm real proud of you, and go for being number one. You know, you can Limbaugh's been on top for a while, but why can't Aaron McCready be on top in 5 years? I see no reason why you can't be.
Well, right? I appreciate that. I don't even know what to say, but, you know, one thing I do want to play, and I really do appreciate that, one thing I do want to play for, you know, for people that have been sleeping under a rock and don't realize who's running for office, you know, you are supporting Ted Cruz, but I just want to play a quick clip of when he announced his presidential bid, and then I want to get your thoughts on that. Here is Ted Cruz announcing he is running for office.
I want to talk to you this morning about reigniting the promise of America. Imagine in 2017, a new president signing legislation repealing every word of Obamacare. Imagine a president who stands unapologetically with the nation of Israel. Imagine a president who says we will stand up and defeat radical Islamic terrorism. I believe in you. I believe in the power of millions of courageous conservatives rising up to reignite the promise of America. And that is why today I am announcing that I'm running for president of the United States.
That was Ted Cruz at Liberty University in Virginia. And, you know, what are your thoughts on that speech? And, you know, out of all the people, why choose Ted Cruz to throw your full support behind?
Well, you know, the amazing thing about Ted Cruz, he uses no notes. Nearly every speaker I've ever seen in my life, well, I watched that whole speech at Liberty. Not one, he used great eye contact with the audience. He did not use one note. And since then, I've seen him make a lot of speeches. He never uses any notes. That takes a brilliant man, Aaron, to do that. And, of course, I call myself, before Cruz ran, a Reagan-Thatcher conservative, not even a Republican, although I vote Republican, because I believe in Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. Well, Ted Cruz, now I call myself a Reagan-Thatcher-Cruz conservative. To me, Ted Cruz embodied, he's a man of principle, he stands for principle. I just don't know anybody in my lifetime, and this may sound crazy to you, but I'd have voted for Ted Cruz over Reagan, Thatcher, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, anybody in history. When I met with a man in Washington, I was already sold on him, but he has got, you just know you're with a very brilliant and a caring person and a person that loves America. And so, you know, it was an easy for me to decide who to be for. Not that I'm against the other candidates. If Ted gets beaten, I certainly hope he doesn't, I'll join in and be for the nominee of the party. But to me, Cruz is head. And I think also, you know, he was a great debating champion. When the debate started in August, Aaron, I think Ted will pull away. I've talked to people about him, and they say that he is just an incredible debater. And I've heard that Hillary's biggest nightmare is debating the great Ted Cruz.
Well, you know, so, Hillary can be tripped up, too, because she, you know, when, I mean, just look at some of the press conferences she's done in the past. I mean, when She does great if she has notes, but if somebody confronts her on certain issues, and certainly like Ted Cruz will, I think that people will see a huge difference between the two, just in how they would react under pressure. And especially, you know, as you know, being president of the United States, you have to react under pressure. You don't have time to stumble. So I think, you know, between the two of them, Ted Cruz, the public would just see him and run with Ted Cruz.
Well, I think so, too, and I think that's what will happen when the debates start in August. I think Ted, I mean, I've been on, as you say, the number one caller of talk shows in the country many years, so I've met and had my own show and interviewed a lot of very successful people. But I tell you what, if you ask me to come on your show and debate Ted Cruz, I would say, Aaron, I'm throwing up the white flag. I'm not going to do that. He would absolutely. He would destroy me, and I wouldn't even realize I'd been bleeding. I'd be bleeding to death, and I wouldn't even know it.
Wow, that's good for you to turn something down, because we've had some. We had a couple of debates on back when, like David Perdue and Governor
that.
Of Georgia. Yeah, and. You know, and we had some debates on that. So for you to turn down a debate, that's saying something about Ted Cruz.
Well, I tell you, I'd hate to debate him. But talking about David Perdue, I visited with David and I strongly supported David. And I think David is going to do a super job. And his man, Evan Karanovich, took me up to meet Cruz and took me all over. And I got to meet with Steve. Well, of course, I know Steve Scully, who runs C-SPAN. They go to 100 million people, and I've been their number one caller for years. And saw Brian Lamb, who founded the network, and I had lunch with Steve. And I just had a wonderful trip to Washington. And Rob Atkinson, who's Barry Loudermilk's chief of staff, and Evan Karanovich really, really helped make my trip just really enjoyable. But anyway, going back to Cruz, I got so fired up after meeting him, I couldn't sleep for about 2 days. I mean, that's the impact Aaron he had on me. And the thing I like about him, you know, when I talked to him one-on-one, he said nothing about his opponents. You know, he didn't say, Joe, I want you to vote for me because blah, blah, blah. He just, in fact, he praised them. He said, I'm delighted you're for me, Joe, but you had nothing. And I've been told by a lot of people that he does not attack, you know, in fact, I've been told that I don't do that anyway, but I've been told, you know, if you mention Jeb Bush, I think Jeb Bush is a fine man, but I'm for Ted Cruz. And so we want to stay positive, and that's another reason that I think, you know, I'm excited about LJ being the encouragement council of the world, Aaron, because I think lifting up and encouraging people is just it's meant so much to me. So now in at my stage of life, I want to give back by – and we have a guy, Oscar Poole, who's he's a barbecue tycoon, and we're celebrating his 85th birthday at his barbecue this Thursday. And the guy's 85, going on 25. He's across the world in a radio broadcast, and he's just got tremendous energy. And that's going to be our headquarters, his barbecue. That's the headquarters for the Encouragement Capital of the World. So we're just real excited. And I hope that I know you're living in Texas now, but I hope that you can come to Pooh's Barbecue and LJ, and we welcome you to the Encouragement Capital of the World, Aaron.
Well, you know, I would love to do that. You know, I still have a big Georgia following, so you know, we may just take the show right on up there and do it there from the Encouragement Capital of the World, and
that would
and have
be great.
You guys
I mean,
on
Oscar,
and just make a big day.
Oscar would be thrilled with that. I would be thrilled with that, and I think you would be amazed at how great the people of LJ would be to you. And well, anybody that comes in, we try to welcome them. And really, like I say, going to funerals and you know, and hearing when somebody died and they say, "Oh, I thought the world out, but I never told them." So that's why I believe, just like with you, I want to tell you now, while both of us are alive, Aaron, I believe in you. I think you're gonna go to the top. And so Joe McCutchen will always be an encourager of Aaron McCready, and that's something I like. It makes me feel good. I hope it makes you feel good. But the good thing about encouraging somebody, it makes me feel good when I tell you how great you are. You know, it makes me feel good.
Well, I appreciate that, you know. Well, I certainly like hearing it, too.
Well, you are good. I've been on your show several times, and you're just you're an excellent interviewer, and I'm a pretty good judge of that because I've been the number one caller, as you say, for years. Been interviewed by Larry King, Sean Hannity, a lot of top people, and you're right there at the top, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I was looking at the news here in Texas, and just last week, or actually maybe it was this past week, I can't remember. It just all blurs together, but the Presidential Commission on Debates actually announced that Houston is going to be one of the places for the presidential debate. So, you know, come on down and we'll do a show here and crash the party and maybe, you know, grab Ted Cruz and steal some of Sean Hannity's thunder and Rush Limbaugh, too.
I know Ted Cruz will like it being in his hometown. I bet there'll be some complaints about that, don't you?
Oh, I bet so.
From the other candidates.
They'll cry foul, you know, if he does win the debate. And, oh, it's in front of his hometown crowd, you know, never mind his ideas or anything. You know, it's because he's in his hometown crowd.
Yeah, well, you know something, I think, what you're doing and, articulating conservative thoughts across the country, I think that's just wonderful. I think we have to – I'm spending a lot of time with young people, encouraging them, young leaders like Megan Hanson, Harrison Lance, who happens to be the grandson of Burt Lance. We have a lot of great – Abby Fry, who's over at University of Georgia, the biggest Republican chapter. Nicole Getz, who came up to visit with me. She was head of the Republican chapter at Emory, and she wants to be president of the United States someday. And there's just a lot of these young people that really energize and motivate me, and I know you're going to reach out to them too. And I would suggest some of these people on your show they're really articulate, and I'm just really – I learned – you know, when I was a freshman back at Georgia Tech or even a senior, these kids are much sharper than I was. So I'm encouraged about the future, Aaron. I feel like Ronald Reagan. I feel like the best days of America are ahead.
And so many people think the exact opposite, but when you look at those people that really do care about the future and want to take, you know, this country to the next level and continue to build upon what this country was founded upon and make it better and not tear it down and take us backwards. I mean, it is encouraging and it does give you hope, and it's going to take people like that to continue the American dream.
There's a young man from Texas, and we went to North Georgia College, head of the college Republicans, Will Kramer, and he's from Texas, and he spoke up here at our Republican meeting, and boy, he was great. Harrison Lance has. I'm just real excited, and I think that you and I'm sure there are a lot of outstanding young leaders in Texas, and I think those could be future, you know, you could build up a heck of an audience. You want to get everybody, of course, and I agree with that, but you can build up an audience because I don't think people pay attention to these young people like they should, and we need to because, you know, Aaron, they're our future, right?
No, you're absolutely right, and, you know, we do need to do that and build them up, and I would love to have them on the show, and Will, especially with the new show in Texas. So that way we – because we still have, a big audience in Georgia and then, you know, a big audience now in Texas. So that will help get their ideas out there, make them better known, and whatever I can do to help them also. You know, it's just it's full circle.
Well, you're reaching out to people, and, you know, it's not about it's what I like about you. It's not about Aaron McCready. You're reaching out to help others, help Joe McCutcheon, help Will Kramer. That's to me, that's the key in life. If, you know, like when you encourage, when I encourage somebody like you or anybody else, I forget Joe McCutcheon. You know, I get interested in Aaron McCready and helping your career, or Will Kramer, or Harrison Lance, and I forget Joe McCutcheon. And that's a good thing, you know, because we need to get away from ourselves and get interest and lift up people. And I just think I can see there's a lady named Linda Umberger who's helped me on this project. Her family, she worked in the Reagan White House, and she's going to take this project all over the world and to encourage people. She's encouraging people in Ukraine. I got a guy, George Wynn, who's got friends in Russia, and Oscar Poo's got friends all over the world. So, you know, we're going to take it outside LJ. We're going to take it, well, just like on your show, there are a lot of people hearing this now, and we want to encourage them. And anybody that comes to LJ, we're going to try to encourage them and build them up and make them feel good about themselves. And, you know, nothing would please me more, Aaron, than you to become one of the top talk show hosts in the country. And I can say, well, boy, look, I was the first guest on his show in Houston. And, man, look at him now. I hope he remembers who I am, and I'm sure you will.
Oh, I sure will. You are definitely an unforgettable person, I'll tell you that.
And well, you're great, and I tell you, please use me to say I'd recommend everybody to listen into your show, and they'll learn a lot because I know you're going to have a lot of outstanding. And I love the fact that you're in Houston, Texas, home of Ted Cruz. You know, that was the first thing I noticed. That, boy, that's great. What are the odds of Aaron McCready being in the hometown of the guy I'm for president of the United States, Ted Cruz? That's long odds, isn't it?
Well, hey, there you go. You know, and if you ever can put a bug in Ted Cruz's ear, if he becomes president, you know, he's going to need a press secretary. Hint, hint.
Oh, I will. I'll recommend Aaron. I'll recommend you to anybody. I'm sold on you. You have the desire. You have the drive, and you want to make America stronger and better. And that's what we're all about, is trying to make our country the best. Like Ronald Reagan said, let's make it the best, and let's work to make it. It doesn't matter, you know, you're a Georgia fan, I'm a Tech fan. We can work together to make this the greatest country, the greatest world, and I think that's what we can do. And just think of millions of people all over the world encouraging others and lifting them up like, you know, I'm doing you. And it's just so exciting to me. And, you know, I love politics. As you can tell, I'm going to do everything I can for Cruz. But really, I have to say, this thing of LJ being in the encouragement account for the world, and we had a guy named Jack Staver, who's a big Republican activist. He came up to eat lunch with me today. There are more people wanting to come to LJ now, and, you know, and because they're excited about what we're doing. And so we're going to send them out and say, hey, we got an LJ. We want you to go down to Atlanta and encourage some people, or to go to Texas, where you are, Houston. Go out there and help Aaron encourage some people. Because, Aaron, this thing, with your show, you can encourage a lot of people, and you can educate them politically, but you can also energize people. I think the key is finding your passion. The reason I'm the happiest person in the world is I love what I'm doing, and I'm around positive people like you. See, that's the key. You don't want to be around negative people. You need to be around, don't you agree with that, being around positive people that energize you and motivate you to be a better human being?
Well, absolutely. That's one thing I want to ask you, too, and you led right into it, is, you know, you are one of the most positive people I've ever spoken to, and I'm not just saying that because you're on the show. I mean, I tell people that all the time. But do you wake up just positive, or do you have to make a concerted effort to do it? I mean, is it just ingrained in you? I mean, how do you do it? I mean, tell people how you do it, because
I don't see
how you do it.
I'll tell you how I do it. I've had so many people, believe it or not, that have encouraged me, and now I'm so fired up. You're going to laugh at this, but the first thing I say when I get up is go Ted Cruz, and I'm already fired up. Then the last thing I say before go to bed is go Ted Cruz. I answer the phone, Cruz for president, and then, you know, I mean, I know you're a big Georgia fan, but I've always sung around in rec from Georgia Tech in the shower, and that gets me fired up. I was down at the Orange Bowl with the team, and I have great respect for Georgia. In fact, my grandfather, Frank McCutcheon, you can check it out. He was captain of the 1900 Georgia team and scored 2 touchdowns to beat Tech, and my dad went to Georgia Tech, and I went to Tech, and my daughter was homecoming queen at Tech, and my son graduated with highest honors. So we're a Tech family now, but I have more Georgia friends than I've got Tech friends. Hal Stokes is a world swimming champion, and he was a 2-year All-American at Georgia, and he and I are best friends, and he's working with us to make, you know, LJ the encouragement camp for the world. So I have nothing but the highest respect for University of Georgia. Heck, you beat us. Aaron, you beat us nearly every year, right?
Well, that's right. You know, I'm just, you know, like you said, Ted Cruz does, I'm not going to speak negatively of Georgia Tech. I'm just going to let the record stand for itself.
Well, the record is, I can't say anything about Tech winning, because all you got to do is throw up the history, and y'all are way, way ahead of Tech. But, you know, that's the thing that we can do. We can come together and, you know, as people to want to make the country great. It doesn't matter whether it went to Tech, Georgia, Auburn, Ole Miss, wherever. We all want a better America and a finer country. We want the best for our kids and our grandkids. And that's something we can all agree on. And I think, Aaron, your show can make a tremendous positive impact on America. I really mean that. I think with encouraging people, and I will always say that you're a part of helping us to become the encouragement capital of the world and spreading our encouragement project around the world. And you know, I look for you. You don't limit yourself. You could be a worldwide talk show host, you know, not just in America. You know that?
Well, hey, I appreciate that. Hey,
you can do it. I mean, you get people supporting you. Like on this encouragement project, I'm just amazed that people are calling me from all over and saying, Joe, we support you all over the United States. And I don't know how they've gotten my name or what they did, but they're all excited about our encouragement project. And it's a wonderful thing. So with your show, I'm just honored that you have called on me with your first show. That's a huge honor for Joe McCutcheon. It really is, and I'm very grateful to you.
Well, no, I'm grateful for you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. Hey, one question I do have, you know, just quickly going back to Ted Cruz real quick. You said Ted Cruz, when you met with him, Ted Cruz never spoke ill of anyone, and especially his the people running against him.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have people like John McCain that's called him a wacko bird, and John McCain, a senator from Arizona, former, and he even ran for, he was a Republican nominee once upon a time. And so why do you think that people are attacking Ted Cruz when he is, when, you know, he's not doing that to them?
Well, you know, I think it's like, I remember when Mondale ran against Reagan, you know, Mondale was attacking him and saying terrible things about him and during one of the debates, and Reagan just looked at him and smiled and said, "There you go again." It doesn't, I mean, whatever John McCain says, and I like McCain. He's a war hero. He's done a lot of great things. I don't know why he says that about Ted. That's his business, but I don't let that bother me. I mean, somebody attacks Ted, you know, I'll say that's their freedom and liberty, just like it's my freedom and liberty to think that he's the greatest around. And so I really don't, when somebody attacks Ted, you know, I assume that I don't know what his motives are, but whatever they are, I'm not going to let that bother me, because I'm going to push ahead for Ted with enthusiasm, passion, energy, and be very positive. And I just say John's a patriot and did a lot of great things for the country, and for why he's attacking Ted Cruz, I don't have any idea. But I respect him, and, you know, that's his freedom. I mean, you know, that's the freedom we have. Somebody wants to attack Joe McCutcheon, you know, that's fine. If you can't stand the heat, you got to get out of the kitchen, right, Aaron?
Oh, that's right. You should read some of the emails I get after every show, too. It would just put, you know, curl the hair on your back of your neck. But, you know, one thing I always tell people is that, you know, God himself can't please everybody, so just do the best you can and keep doing what you're doing, and because, you know, God himself can't please everyone.
Yeah, well, that's true, and you got to do that. You know, you do your show, and I know you put a lot into it. You probably have been preparing days and days for this debut show, and you'll probably be so excited. You'll probably go back over the show to, you know, when you go to bed tonight, your mind will be racing. You'll say, gosh, why didn't I ask Joe this, or why did I do this? But, you know, you're there. You're in the game. You're in the game. You're in the football game. You're making a difference. And you need to just always think, when you get criticism, just say, as long as you do your best, I'm going to do my best for Ted Cruz. If Ted doesn't win, I'll look myself in the mirror and say, well, boy, Joe, you did your best. And that's all we can do. And we're all imperfect. When I look in the mirror and shave every morning, I see Joe McCutcheon, a very imperfect person. But I do try hard. And like I say, I think of the positive things. Here's Aaron McCready asking me to be on his debut show. Hey, man, I'm fired up. Why should I think about negative things, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Well, one other thing, laugh. Here's another thing I think. I walk 5 miles every day. I used to walk 4, but since Ted's running, I'm really trying to get in good shape. I'm doing 5 miles a day. Exercise and laughing and smiling. If I'm laughing and smiling, that helps my immune system, and I think that's a great thing to do. Be around people, just like with you. You've heard me laugh on your show. I mean, you can tell anybody that Joe McCutcheon was your debut guest, and I've had a ball. It's wonderful. I'm just so happy. And if somebody called me up and said, what do you think about Aaron McCready? I said, I think he's got an incredible talk show, and I think he's going to go to the top. And that's the way I feel. And if anybody criticizes you, hey, I think that's their problem, right?
Well, hey, you know, if you must be doing something right if somebody's aggravated with you, you know, because, you know, that's the way I look at it. So.
Well, I agree with you 100%. I've had some people come up to me and say, Joe, I don't like Ted Cruz. You know what I tell them? I say, well, listen, I tell you what, I hope you're half as fired up about your candidate as I am Ted Cruz. And that pretty much quiets them down, you know? They don't want to say that.
Well, to the
and
American
I mean
public,
that. I wish, you know, I want people to be for Ted Cruz, but if they can't be, I hope who are there for, they're fired up and they're energized, because that's the way I am about Ted Cruz. I can't wait to get up. I tell you how fired up I am. I'm not kidding, paid a dime. I'm a volunteer. I cannot wait, Aaron, to get up every day and work for Ted Cruz for free, because I believe he'll be the greatest president in history, and that's just Joe McCutcheon's opinion.
Wow. Well, what would you say to the American public that's listening right now that don't know if it's going to be, you know, if they're going to support, you know, Jeb Bush or Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, whoever? What would you say to them to encourage them to vote for Ted Cruz?
Well, I just think I would say in my lifetime, I'm a Reagan, Thatcher, now Cruz conservative. I think Ted Cruz will attack the $18 trillion debt which we owe and the $100 trillion unfunded liabilities. I think he'll attack it. I think he's a man of principle. You can't he's not a person that you know that you can intimidate. He's the most brilliant person I've ever talked to. I just think he will be the greatest president in history, and I hope people will vote for him. If you believe in like I do, less government, less taxes, more freedom under God, I think he's by far the best. But there again, there are a lot of other fine candidates. So what I say to him, Aaron, is whoever you're for, get out there and work hard for him. I'm for Ted Cruz. If you can outwork, in fact, I would love to debate anybody. If you can find anybody in the United States that's as fired up about their candidate as I am Ted Cruz, I would love to talk to them in a nice way. You know, I just tell them why I'm more fired up than I think they are.
Oh, gosh, don't say that, because I'll have you on next week, and we'll have a Hillary Clinton supporter on. Don't say that.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, you know, she's a human being. God made us all, and I just don't believe in being negative. I believe in, you know, if I can't sell Ted Cruz and Ted can't sell Ted Cruz, if we have to be negative and attack other people, I just don't believe in that. I don't think, you know, it's just like, you know, you're Georgia, I'm Tech. I told Tech people, they'd say, oh, Georgia's beating us every year. I said, well, listen, fellas, what we got to do, we got to get better. Georgia's got a great football team. Let's don't complain there. We need to be more like them. We got to get better football players. We got to play harder. We got to play smarter. But don't attack them. They got a great program. And that's the way I feel about anybody else we're competing against. You got to, you know, just like you're competing against some other talk show hosts. Well, I wouldn't let that bother you. You're very good. They may be good too, but you be the best you can be. They may be the best they can be. But I believe you got a good chance to go right to the top, Aaron, and I believe strongly in you. And I have pretty good experience, 20 years of being number one, so I think I can tell who's good and who's bad, and you're very, very good.
Well, hey, I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you coming on the show today. You're the very first guest on the new Texas show out of Houston, Texas, and again, we're still heard in Georgia, we're heard in Texas, but this is the first show in Texas.
Well,
so I really appreciate all your help.
Thank you so much, and my best of luck to you, and I'm a big Aaron McCready fan, and thank you again so much, and the best of luck to you, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, and we will definitely talk in the future.
Thank you so much, Aaron. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Joe McCutcheon. He is from LJ, Georgia. As you heard, he's very positive and trying to make that the encouragement capital of the world, and it sounds like he is succeeding. Also a big, big supporter of Ted Cruz. We're going to talk just a little bit about Ted Cruz after the news here, and then we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton to end the show. But we'll be right back after the news.
Aaron McCready.
News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. Quarterback Tom Brady suspended, the New England Patriots fined in the Deflategate scandal. The NFL informed Brady today he'll be sitting out the first four games of the 2015 regular season without pay. The team fined $1 million and will forfeit its first-round draft pick in 2016 and a fourth-round selection the following year. Two Patriots employees suspended indefinitely after an NFL investigation found they were involved in deflating footballs prior to the team's AFC Championship win over the Colts, and that Tom Brady probably knew all about it. Brady's agent calls the discipline ridiculous, saying it has no legitimate basis. Fox sportscaster Jim Gray, who interviewed Brady at a Boston-area university just last Thursday, agrees.
It's definitely a shocker. It's unduly harsh. It's unprecedented. And there was no definitive proof in that report.
And he doesn't think it'll hold up.
If this is appealed by Tom Brady, which we all expect, this will not hold up on appeal.
And Brady's agent now saying he will appeal. Ironically, Brady's first game back, should that suspension stand, will be against the Colts in Indianapolis. In Van, Texas.
I feel very lucky because how bad our house is picked up and torn, by the grace of God that we're here today.
She survived an EF3 tornado that tore through the city southeast of Dallas last night. Three people still missing there. Five tornado deaths confirmed in Texas and Arkansas. The White House insisting it is not a snub.
All the feedback that we've received from the Saudis has been positive.
Spokesman Josh Earnest, Saudi Arabia's king, calling President Obama expressing regret he will not be able to attend a summit this Thursday on Iran. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Prosecution testimony in the Colorado movie massacre trial.
In their attempt to prove James Holmes was sane, Arapahoe County DA George Brockler called to the stand another professor who worked with Holmes to testify. Associate neuroscience professor Daniel Tolan praised Holmes' work in his grant writing class, especially his final work.
Would this have taken, in your opinion, some significant motivation and effort?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us when on the calendar this document was provided to you.
This is Wednesday, April 4th.
Just 3.5 months before the shooting, during which time Holmes' attorneys say he was developing schizophrenia and going insane. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
A well-known witness wrapping up the defense case in the penalty phase of the Boston Marathon bombing trial.
The defense ending with the testimony of nationally known death penalty opponent, Sister Helen Prejean. She said she met with Jahar Tsarnaev 5 times, and that according to her, Tsarnaev spontaneously and sincerely agreed that the Boston Marathon bombing victims did not deserve to suffer like they did.
Fox Radio's Bill Marcus in Boston. Closing arguments are set for Wednesday. George Zimmerman acquitted in the fatal Trayvon Martin shooting, shot at in his car today, hit by glass, not a bullet. The suspect who called 911, the man who accused him of road rage last year. President Obama's proposed fast-track legislation not likely to pass a procedural vote in the Senate tomorrow because not enough Democrats support the trade bill.
One of the biggest questions is if this procedural vote fails on Tuesday, does that drive a stake through the heart of this trade pact that the president is pushing for? It's unclear. The House of Representatives does not have the votes.
Fox's Chad Pergram on Wall Street today. The Dow closing down 85 points. Both the NASDAQ and the S&P off 10. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Aaron McCready.
About him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the big show. I am Aaron McCready. My special thanks to Joe McCutcheon for joining us earlier in the show. As you know, he is a big Ted Cruz supporter, and also he is trying to make LJ, Georgia the encouragement capital of the world. And he is really one of the most positive people I have had the pleasure to come into contact with. And so I am totally behind him in that effort. And again, thank him for becoming the first guest on the new Aaron McCready show out of Houston, Texas. And again, there's not enough kind words I can say about him and his support of the show. And he does call in to all of the talk shows, and to get him on this show is a big honor, and especially as the first guest. But real quick, since we are in Texas, just wanted to play just this news report real quick on the Van, Texas tornado. It's over in Van Zant County here in Texas. And last night they had a tornado just rip through their community. Take a listen.
At this time, we can confirm we've had two fatalities as a result of this storm that has affected the city of Van and Van Zant County. I do believe the sirens did go off once a warning was issued by the National Weather Service. However, this storm spun up real fast, and the warning time was extremely limited. Until the National Weather Service can get out and do their damage assessment, we won't know if the damage was a result of one tornado or two. Keep in mind that we did, while we were beginning our emergency response, we did go under another tornado warning. At that time, we did have to pull emergency responders off the street to seek shelter in the event that we were told that there was another tornado inbound, but we suffered no damage as a result of that second tornado warning.
Van is a strong city, strong community. We will rebuild. I would ask that you continue to pray for all the lives that were affected in this disaster. Continue to pray for the families and everyone and for the city of Van.
Now, I used to live about 90 minutes north of Memphis, Tennessee, and when I lived there, they had a lot of tornadoes also. And I remember I was coming back home one night, and there were all these tornado warnings. I had no idea that there was a tornado coming through. It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything. And by the time I got home, there were no power, no cell phone coverage, nothing. So I know what they're going through. And my heart goes out to them, and hopefully your thoughts and prayers are going out to them also. The next morning when I woke up, there were people's clothes all in the trees, houses destroyed, people homeless, and that's what they're experiencing over in Van, Texas right now. So, you know, if you can, make a donation to the Red Cross in support of Van, Texas, and all the fine folks over there, over in Van Zant County, Texas. And if there's anything this show can do for you, please, please let us know. So, you know, being in Texas, I did not want to ignore the fact that there are some people suffering from a tornado last night. So, again, all thoughts and prayers are going out to you guys over in Van, Texas. But, you know, earlier we had Joe McCutchen on, and he was talking about Ted Cruz. And there was a Bloomberg reporter. He actually is, I believe, the managing editor of Bloomberg Politics. His name's Mark Halpern, and I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but that's the best I can do. But let me tell you some of the questions that he asked Ted Cruz. And I would say this even if it was Hillary Clinton, or I would say this if it was Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush, whoever. But he ended up apologizing Cruz's Latino-ness. And let me tell you some of the questions that he asked. And this is just unacceptable for a reporter, especially a managing editor of Bloomberg Politics, a managing editor of a news agency, to ask this. Let me tell you, he conducted an interview with the candidate in the past few weeks, and it came across like he was interrogating Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz, if you don't know, his father is a Cuban immigrant, and his father was actually a political prisoner at one point. And he was asking Ted Cruz how Latino he really is. He asked him to name a Cuban dish. He also asked him to name a Cuban entertainer. And also asked him to say a few words in Spanish. Now, that is typical liberal media out of control. Now, do you think for one minute if Ted Cruz was a Democrat that they would ask him those questions? I highly, highly doubt it. That is just the liberal media out of control. You know, again, you know, Joe McCutchen earlier was saying, you know, let people stand on their own. Why try to rip somebody down like that? You know, after the backlash of the interview, which nobody really noticed, but there was a syndicated columnist, his name's Ruben Navarrete. He focused on it and slammed this managing editor of Bloomberg Politics as a racist. Only then did he come out and apologize for that. You know what Ted Cruz's response was during this interview? He just smiled and complied, but then when it came to him, you know, speaking a few words in Spanish, he declined. You know, that's the thing that people like Ted Cruz are facing, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush. The liberal media wanted to tear people down so they can continue with their agenda, their far-left agenda. Now, you know, moving on to Hillary Clinton. Now, to be fair and balanced, I am going to tell you some Hillary Clinton facts. I've got some here, and they're not at all what you think I will say. For example, Hillary Clinton, she wasn't interested in politics at all when she was young. She actually dreamed of becoming a baseball player, a journalist, and an astronaut. Now, that's according to the National Constitution Center. They're the ones that say that. Also, Hillary Clinton is a Methodist. Bill Clinton's a Southern Baptist. That's a difference there too. Although, if you really know the Christian churches, there's really not a big difference between Methodist and Southern Baptist. A few minor differences, but you know, they both believe pretty much the same. Also, you may not realize this, but Hillary Clinton served as First Lady and Senator for 20 days at the same time. Now, as you know, before Bill Clinton left office, she was serving as First Lady, of course. But she also ran for Senator in New York. Now, during that time, they take office on the first day of January. He did not leave office till January 20th. So for 20 days, she was First Lady of the United States and also United States Senator. That has never happened before. So those are some quick tidbits of Hillary Clinton. She also, in 1974, became a member of the Presidential Impeachment Inquiry Staff during the Watergate scandal. And she's even worked in a canning factory in Alaska back in 1969. And in the summer of 1971, worked on a subcommittee for Senator Walter Mondale in Washington, D.C. So those are some of Hillary Clinton's accomplishments. And, you know, one thing that concerns me about Hillary Clinton, and for those diehard liberals out there, 646-200-3400 is the call-in number, 646-200-3400. If you want to call in and disagree with me, if you want to disagree out of the many callers we've got waiting on the line right now, and I don't know if I'll get to them, but if you want to disagree with me, call in and we'll take your call right now. But, you know, for those of you that are living in the time of George W. Bush and think that all this mess is George W. Bush's fault, and all you Hillary Clinton supporters, here, let's take a listen to this. This was Hillary Clinton back in October 2002 when she was a senator on her vote. Now listen to this carefully. On her vote to go to war with Iraq. Yes, she did. She voted to go to war with Iraq. And here was her explaining her vote.
In the 4 years since the inspectors left, intelligence reports show that Saddam Hussein has worked to rebuild his chemical and biological weapons stock, his missile delivery capability, and his nuclear program. He has also given aid, comfort, and sanctuary to terrorists, including Al-Qaeda members. It is clear, however, that if left unchecked, Saddam Hussein will continue to increase his capacity to wage biological and chemical warfare and will keep trying to develop nuclear weapons. Should he succeed in that endeavor, he could alter the political and security landscape of the Middle East, which, as we know all too well, affects American security. This is a very difficult vote. This is probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Any vote that might lead to war should be hard. But I cast it with conviction.
Now, for all you George W. Bush folks that think he's a warmonger, there's your girl. There is Hillary Clinton voting to go to war with Iraq. Now, moving on, fast forward when she was Secretary of State. Now, those of you that remember this, it was a few years ago, Benghazi, where we had Ambassador Chris Stevens assassinated. They were calling and calling for help, and no help ever arrived. Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State at the time. Of course, Barack Obama was president then also. There was a congressional inquiry, and she was in front of a panel. that was interviewing her. And this is what she had to say in one of the parts. Now, just take a listen, and we'll play it back again, but just take a listen.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
What difference does it make if it were some people on a protest or somebody taking a walk? I will tell you what difference it makes, Hillary Clinton. I will tell you what difference it makes. Last week, or this past week, again, everything runs together. We had two people in Texas, outside of Dallas, open gunfire on a security guard, and then was instantly, pretty much simultaneously, shot dead by a couple police officers. Two individuals. In Hillary Clinton's world, what difference would it make if they're protesting or if they are just a couple of guys out for a walk? Well, I'll tell you what difference that made. Those two were ISIS-inspired. And those of you who don't know what ISIS is or ISIL, same thing. They are the ones that are going through the world decapitating children, have children also maybe not decapitating children, but decapitating adults and having children hold the heads up of these decapitated people. They're taking over cities over in the Middle East. They are savages and need to be exterminated. But you know what? They were ISIS-inspired. There's cells of ISIS all over the country, come to find out. Military bases now are on high alert. But what difference does it make if they're protesting, if they're part of ISIS? What difference does it make if they are protesters protesting ideas for ISIS or just a couple guys out for a stroll? Listen again to Hillary Clinton.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
And that's someone that all of you want president? Someone that can't distinguish if it's a couple of guys out for a walk, what difference does it make? Or some protesters, what difference does it make? It does make a big difference. It's called national security, Hillary Clinton. National security. This is also the same person that wiped her server clean, that no emails exist, that used her personal server while she was Secretary of State, which is a direct violation of the rules set forth by the State Department. She did not use a government server that's protected against these other countries that want to spy on what top leaders in the government are doing or saying, her communications with the White House, the Defense Department. She used her own personal server that could have easily been breached by foreign governments. And then when people want to see what those emails were about, what does she do? The server's wiped clean. And she says it's her own personal server, and so she doesn't want to give that up because she doesn't want her personal items to become public. Like, for instance, she said picking out wedding dresses for Chelsea when she was getting married, things like that. Well, you know, if you didn't want it to become public, maybe you shouldn't have used your personal server as a public function. 646-200-3400 if you want to call into the show. And that's who people want as President of the United States. Someone that is trying to deceive the American public that won't come forth. Also someone that can't distinguish terrorists and ordinary people out for a stroll. Is that who you want to lead this country? Is that really who you want to lead this country? In a time of terrorism, a time of attacks on America, at a time that we're in this day and age, is that really who you want to lead this country? Yes, you're Secretary of State. Yes, you traveled the most of any Secretary of State in the history of the United States. But can someone tell me, please, what accomplishments does she really have? Either as First Lady, she certainly couldn't get health care passed as First Lady. She tried, remember, Hillary Care? That failed. She tried to promote that. That failed. Senator. She wasn't senator long. Not long at all. What did she really accomplish as Senator of the United States? But she wants to be president. What has Hillary Clinton accomplished? You know, email me at aaron@aaronmccready.com. I would love to know. We'll share it on our next show. You know, it's been a great pleasure and privilege to be with you tonight. I appreciate you listening. My special thanks to Joe McCutcheon for coming on the show. Make sure you check out LJ Georgia, the encouragement capital of the world. And I appreciate all of his support. And he is just so excited about Ted Cruz and is trying to work for him to be president of the United States. Just a little quick fact about Joe McCutcheon. Go look up his name, Joe McCutcheon, and you will see that he was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. It is just fantastic. It's hilarious when he was supporting Mitt Romney. Again, thanks for being a part of the broadcast tonight. I truly appreciate it. Go follow me on Twitter at Aaron McCready, AaronMccready, or visit me on the web at AaronMccready.com. And, of course, you can email me anytime, and I'll actually respond to your email, Aaron@AaronMccready.com. Thanks again. It's been a great honor and privilege to be listening to our first Texas broadcast, and we'll see you next time.
Aaron McCready.